Sparkle Stories, and By Thistle, By Thimble. Someone Else's Dragon. A long time ago, in a village to the far north, there was a 6-year-old girl named Solvay, who was the youngest in her family. She lived with her mother and father and older brothers Hagen and Arin in a stone house near the edge of a vast forest. Their house was very simply built, out of piled stones mortared together with straw and mud wattling. The roof consisted of long ashwood beams supporting grass sod that soaked up the rain during the warmer months and held the snow during the cold months. There was a large garden outside their home where they grew carrots and parsnips and potatoes and radishes and many varieties of greens, which, aside from what they were able to hunt, was their source of food for the entire year. Solvay's family worked hard, as did all the families in this village to the far north. They worked hard to maintain their own home and family, and they worked hard to help the families and their houses in the rest of the village. The winters were long and very cold, so it was extremely important that they be prepared with a storage of food and firewood. Now, it is true that people around the world have a different sense of the seasons of the year. There are parts of the world where there are 4 balanced seasons called spring and summer and autumn and winter. And there are other parts of the world where the year is divided according to the amount of rain. There's the rainy season and the dry season. Where Solvay's family lived, people divided the year in half. There was the growing season, and there was the dark time. The growing season started as soon as the ice thawed and the rivers started to flow again. Seedlings were prepared, and once the ground was soft enough, it was tilled and planted and tended every day. The growing season lasted several months, and because there was so much light, they could grow great quantities of food. The days were very long, and it wasn't uncommon for people to go to sleep before the sun was fully set. The dark time began when the temperature dropped, and the gardens stopped growing, and the days became shorter and shorter, and the nights longer and longer. This was a quiet time and a still time when families gathered together around fires and told stories to the young about their grandparents and their grandparents' grandparents and about a time when things were very different than they were then. Most of all, the dark time was a time when the people needed to take care of each other. They needed to protect each other from the cold and to stay warm and fed. As I said, the dark time required a lot of preparation, not only to make sure that they had enough food and firewood, but also to prepare for the darkness itself. You see, things are different in the dark. We can't see very well when the lights are dim, and sometimes we can't see anything at all. When that is the case, our eyes can play tricks on us, and we think we see something that isn't really there. We wonder, is that my uncle or is it a tree? Is that my cow or is it a rock? And since this land was shared with bears and wolves who preferred to be alone, the people had to be careful. Was that a bear? Was that a wolf? During the dark time, it was often hard to tell. So what the people of Solvay's village did to prepare for the dark time was they held a festival. There was a big bonfire in the center of the village where all the families would gather for singing and dancing and games and sharing a harvest meal. Everyone was welcome until the sun began to set, and then the festival changed. The younger children would return home with one of their parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, while all the other grown-ups and the older children would begin the second part of the festival. The second part honored the dark time, and everyone in the village agreed that this was not appropriate for the younger children, and that was because of the costumes. You see, this part of the festival looked a little like our Halloween in that everyone wore wild and often scary costumes. But the people of this village dressed up for a very different reason than we dress up at Halloween. They didn't choose costumes for fun, but instead created costumes based on something they feared. For instance, Solveig's uncle was afraid of bears. When he was little, he saw a giant bear catching a fish along the river, and it scared him. Ever since then, he had been afraid of bears, so every year for the festival, her uncle would dress up like a bear because it helped him become less afraid of bears. By pretending to be a bear, he understood the bear a little better, and then bears weren't so scary for him. He had less bad dreams about bears, and when he walked through the forest during the dark time, he had less worries about seeing a bear. So this was the reason everyone wore costumes. Some dressed like bears, some dressed like wolves, some dressed like weasels, and some dressed like poisonous snakes. But by far, the most popular costume for this festival was a dragon. There were a lot of dragon costumes. Dragons with sharp teeth, dragons with fiery breath, dragons with wings, dragons with scales, big dragons, little dragons, blue dragons, red dragons, ice dragons, and wind dragons. Unlike the bear and wolf, these dragons represented more personal fears. If someone was afraid of a wolf, then they would dress up like a wolf. But if someone was afraid of, say, being alone or getting lost, or they were afraid of the dark, they would create a dragon costume. They would make a dragon that looked like their fear. They would choose the colors and decorations according to how they made them feel. So Solveig's oldest brother, Hagen, had been to the festival for the past 2 years, and both years he dressed as a fire-breathing dragon because he was afraid of getting burned by fire. When he was young, he burned a finger on a red-hot coal, and since then he has always been nervous around fires. Solveig watched as he dyed the flax cloth with beets and then dried out a slurry made of mashed willow bark and made a thin, crinkly kind of paper that he used to look like fire. Solveig was fascinated with the process, and she really wanted to see him wear this costume.
"May I come, please?" she asked her mother. "I want to see Hagen's dragon. Why can't I come to the festival and see?"
"You are too young, Solveig," answered her mother. "The Dark Time Festival is only for older children and the grown-ups. You are not ready to see all those dragons."
"When will I be ready?" she asked repeatedly.
"When you are older," she said. "When you can tell which dragons are yours and which dragons belong to someone else. This is difficult, Solveig, and I do not want you to become afraid of things that are not yours to fear." Well, this was not at all satisfying to Solveig, and it actually made her even more curious. She started peeking in the other homes to see what kinds of costumes people were making. She asked her uncle if she could see his bear costume. Well, he said no. She asked Kari, one of the storytellers, if she could see her ice dragon costume, and she said no. When she spotted her father's wolf costume, he quickly hid it away. When she caught a glimpse of her grandmother's blue open water dragon, her grandmother said,
Solvay. You must be patient, just as all of us have been patient before you. There is a right time to join in the festival, and you must wait until that time."
This was very discouraging to Solvay. And what made it even worse was that this was going to be her brother Aaron's first year to attend. He was 9 years old, and his mother and father decided that he was ready to go. Solvay knew that Aaron was afraid of being alone in the forest. He always needed to see his older brother or an adult when he walked the paths. So, when it was time for him to choose his costume, he chose the Lonely Dragon.
"I think lonely dragons are purple," he said confidently, "and they carry a mist or a fog around their head because they're always alone."
Solvay watched as her mother and father helped Aaron make his costume with a veil made of her grandmother's milkweed lace. Solvay watched and studied, and most of all, she got more and more upset and envious. She wanted more than anything to attend the Dark Time Festival. And so when the day of the festival finally arrived, she decided, quietly, that she would sneak away that night, just to have a quick peek. The bonfire was not far from her home, just at the edge of the woods by her aunt's home. So she knew she would be able to leave and return without her aunt knowing that she was gone. Once she made this decision, she became happy and excited. It was going to be her first glimpse. How wonderful! When the family festival finally began, everyone was in attendance. The bonfire was lit, and Solvay joined all the other children for singing and dancing, and then she returned to her family for the big feast. They all ate roasted carrots and parsnips and big venison stew, pickled turnips, and grilled potatoes. They had mugs of sweet oat porridge for dessert, and then the family festival ended when the sun started to set, and everyone sang a song of gratitude to the light and a welcome to the dark. Then it was time to say good night to the younger children, who returned to their homes for some quiet time and then sleep. Solvay's aunt Eula brought her home and then helped her to bed. Solvay slept on a linen bed stuffed with straw and the sweetest dried clover, and usually she looked forward to snuggling in and closing her eyes. This night, however, little Solvay watched and waited for her aunt to fall asleep. She watched as Eula's eyes got heavier and heavier, until she could hear her gentle snoring. Then, as quiet as a mouse, she slid out of the straw bed, pulled on her deerhide coat and leather boots, and went outside. It was much colder out now, and she breathed in the crisp air. She smiled. She was excited. Solvay followed the thin path that led to her aunt and uncle's house at the edge of the open space where the festival was being held. She decided that she would hide behind the house and peek around the corner at the costumes. That way she could see everything and no one would see her. As she got closer, she heard singing and drumming and some flutes being blown. She reached her aunt's and uncle's house and inched slowly along the cool stone wall until she could see the amber glow of the bonfire. And then she saw the shadows. They were hard to see clearly. The shadows were moving, and they did not look like the heads and arms and legs of people. No, she saw shadows of wings and long necks and twisted tails and horns. They seemed to be the shadows of creatures. That was when she felt the first tingle of fear move through her. Up until that point, she only felt excitement and adventure, but now she felt a little scared. She wondered for a second if this was such a good idea, and she considered going back to her home. But her curiosity was greater than her doubt, and she took two more steps forward. And that was when she saw them. She knew that the creatures she saw were people that she knew and loved. She knew that they included her mother and her father and her brothers and her friends. She knew all of that. But that still didn't prepare her for the sight of all the dragons and bears and wolves and weasels dancing and screeching and laughing in front of her. She spotted her brother Hagen's red dragon and her brother Aaron's purple dragon. She spotted her uncle's bear and her father's wolf and her grandmother's open-sea dragon. She knew who they were, but in that moment it didn't matter. In that moment, Solveig was frightened. With eyes wide, she covered her mouth and then ran as fast as she could back to her house. When she reached the thick wooden door, she did not ease it open quietly. No, she pushed through and ran into her aunt's arms.
What is it, child? What has happened?
Her aunt asked in surprise. Solveig held her tight and said only,
Dragons.
Dragons? Asked her aunt. And when her aunt saw the open door, she realized what had happened.
Did you go to the festival, Solveig?
Solveig was quiet for a moment, and then she nodded her head.
Oh, dear, said her aunt quietly. My, my.
Her aunt continued to hold Solveig until her mother and father and brothers returned from the festival and entered with rosy cheeks and wide, satisfied smiles. Solveig's aunt quietly told her mother what had happened, and with a sweet smile to Solveig, she went outside to walk home. While Solveig's father helped the boys to bed, Solveig's mother held her tight for a very long time.
I'm scared, Solveig finally said. I wish I stayed home.
Said her mother softly.
But you did not stay home, and now you have someone else's dragon.
Solveig frowned a little and leaned back to look at her mother.
What?
She asked quietly.
You are young, Solveig, said her mother. You are not old enough to know what is your dragon, your fear, and the fears of others. So now you have someone else's dragon, perhaps many dragons, and we are going to give them back before you go to sleep tonight.
I don't want to go to sleep, Solveig said with a frown.
You will, when you give the dragons back, said her mother. But it might take some time, so come with me.
Then her mother wrapped her in her deerskin coat and helped her pull on her boots. She put on her own boots and then held Solveig's hand as the two of them went outside.
I don't want to go to the fire, said Solveig nervously.
That will be the first dragon that we give back, said her mother.
Solveig looked up, and in the dim starlight, she could see that her mother was smiling. They came to the fire, and Solveig could feel all the fear again. She remembered the swirling wings and tails and horns and fiery breath of the dragons and of the bears and wolves that danced around the fire. When Solveig shivered, her mother picked her up and held her close.
Tell me everything that you saw, her mother said. I saw the fire dragon, said Solveig, remembering her brother's costume.
And what happened when you saw the fire dragon? Asked her mother.
I was scared. I thought that if I touched it, I might get burned.
Yes, said her mother. That is Hagen's dragon and his fear. It's time to give it back.
Then her mother pulled a small acorn from her pocket and handed it to Solveig.
I want you now to say, this is Hagen's dragon, and I give it back to him. And then I want you to toss that acorn into the fire.
Okay, said Solveig, who looked at the acorn. This is Hagen's dragon, and I give it back to him.
She then tossed the acorn into the fire, where she heard it snap and crackle as it burned.
Do you think that you will be burned now? Asked her mother.
Solvay took a breath in and realized that she was not afraid of being burned anymore.
No, I feel better, she said with a smile.
Good, said her mother, smiling back.
Tell me what else you saw.
Then the two of them did the same thing for the bear and the wolf, the open sea dragon, the purple lonely dragon, and so many other dragons and creatures until she could remember nothing more.
Is all the fear gone now? Her mother asked, holding her tight.
Solvay took a few more deep breaths and then said,
I saw shadows before, and I'm still a little nervous about those.
Solvay's mother nodded her head and said,
Well, you might find, when you are older, that the shadows might be your dragon. You might make a shadow dragon to wear at the festival. But, Solvay, for that you must wait. When you are old enough, there will be no fear when you see the others in their costumes, because you will know that it is their dragon. And you will have your own. No need to burn any acorns. In fact, you will see that it can be a lot of fun.
And then her mother smiled again. Solvay nodded, smiled back, and then yawned.
I'm really tired, she said before taking a deep breath.
Yes, said her mother, who gave her another squeeze tight.
Let's go home.
They walked together under the sky filled with stars. She marveled at the bright, shimmering lights that dimly illuminated the houses of her village. She smiled at the crisp air and the piney smell of the forest beyond. As she and her mother entered their house, she yawned again and walked straight to her bed. Her mother tucked her in and sat with her as she closed her eyes. As little Solvay fell asleep, she recalled the festival. She recalled the food and the singing, and she recalled the costumes. She remembered all the costumes and marveled that they no longer scared her. They were only costumes. And then she thought about the shadow dragon. Yes, she could still feel a twinge of fear around the shadows, but she also felt possibility. Maybe it was the dragon she would make one day. Maybe it was her dragon. And with a smile on her face, she fell peacefully and gratefully asleep.
This has been an original story by Sparkle Stories of sparklestories.com. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. We hope you enjoyed it.